On board the Federation starship...
Enterprise medical log stardate 5027.3. Dr. Leonard McCoy recording. I'm concerned about Captain Kirk. He shows indications of increasing tension and emotional stress.
I have completed the assignment, Captain. A theoretical incursion...
Yes, Mr. Chekhov, I can read, and as usual, your theoretical evaluations do not tally with mine. Return to your duty, and I'll let you know when your work is satisfactory. Spock, full sensor scan of the region, please.
I did give a full report on it.
Yes, Mr. Spock, that was the past. I'm concerned with the present. Or is it becoming too much for this crew to present me with current information?
No, sir. Compliance presents no problem.
Then, Mr. Spock, comply.
Sensor scan to 0.5 parsec. Negative, Captain.
Very well.
I can find no reason for the captain's behavior, except possibly that we've been on patrol too long without relief and diversion. He has resisted all of my attempts to run a psychological profile on him.
Maintaining course and speed, sir.
Change course, come about to 185 Mark 3.
Spock looks around.
But, sir, that'll lead us directly into the Romulan neutral zone.
Yes, very perceptive, Mr. Sulu. I know where the course change takes us. Execute.
Aye, sir.
The Enterprise banks away as it settles on its new course. As Kirk goes back to the captain's chair, Sulu and Chekhov at the con exchange a look.
Increasing sensor scan to 1 parsec. All scanners report clear, nothing in our immediate vicinity.
Better and better, Mr. Spock.
Captain, leaving neutral zone. Now entering Romulan space.
Very well, Mr. Sulu.
Scotty arrives on the bridge.
Lieutenant, when did the order come through?
Order?
From Starfleet. The order to enter the neutral zone.
There's been no order I know of, Mr. Scott.
But surely the captain couldn't be doing this in his own authority.
If you two have any complaints, you can bring them out into the open.
A large vessel with drooping fins appears from nowhere just ahead of the Enterprise.
That's a Klingon ship. But it couldn't be, not in this area.
Intelligence reports Romulans now using Klingon design.
Sound red alert. Man battle stations, stand by main phases.
Battle stations, all hands battle stations.
The second ship has appeared.
Another ship appears.
Correction. There are now 3.
Spock looks up matter-of-factly.
We are surrounded.
Kirk stares at the vessel on the forward view screen.
Space, a final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. The Enterprise Incident, written by D.C. Fontana, directed by John Meredith Lucas.
Lieutenant Uhura, code a message to Starfleet Command. Advise them of our situation. Include all log entries to this point.
Aye.
Mr. Spock, your sensors read clear. What happened?
I have a theory, Captain.
Captain Kirk, I'm receiving Class 2 signal from the Romulan vessel.
Put it on the main viewing screen, Lieutenant, and complete that message to Starfleet Command.
Aye, sir.
A Romulan appears on screen.
You have been identified as the Starship Enterprise. Captain James T. Kirk, last known to be in command.
Your information is correct. This is Captain Kirk.
I am Sub-Commander Tal of the Romulan fleet. Your ship is surrounded, Captain. You will surrender immediately or we will destroy you.
They want something. Or they would have destroyed us by now.
True, Captain. That would be standard Romulan procedure.
It's my ship they want, and very badly.
It would be a great prize.
Kirk signals Uhura.
Lieutenant, save your threats. If you board this ship, I'll blow it up. You'll gain nothing.
Who is that beside you?
My first officer, Commander Spock.
Vulcan.
The Romulan picks up an earpiece.
Yes, Commander. Yes, Commander.
He looks back at the screen.
No one should decide quickly to die, Captain. We give you one of your hours. If you do not surrender your ship at the end of that time, your destruction is certain. We will be open to communication should you wish it.
You understand that Starfleet Command has been advised of the situation.
A subspace message will take 3 weeks to reach Starfleet. The decision is yours, Captain. 1 hour.
The design of the ship is the same. Mr. Spock, you said you had a theory on why your sensors didn't pick up the new ships until they were upon us.
I believe the Romulans have developed a cloaking device which renders our tracking sensors useless.
If so, the Romulans could attack into Federation territory before we knew they were there, before a vessel or a planet could even begin to get the defenses up.
They caught us right enough.
Well, that's a brilliant observation, Mr. Scott. Do you have any other helpful opinions?
Well, we've not got many choices.
We have three. We can fight and be destroyed, or we can destroy the Enterprise ourselves and keep her from the Romulans, or we can surrender. Opinions, gentlemen.
If the Enterprise is taken by the Romulans, they'll know everything there is to know about a starship.
Spock comes up to Kirk, arms folded.
If we had not crossed the neutral zone, on your order, you would not now need our opinions to support a decision which should never have had to be made.
Jim, you ordered us. You had no authority.
Dismissed, Doctor.
Jim.
I said dismissed.
McCoy gets up and leaves the briefing room. Kirk glares at Spock, who meets his gaze impassively.
Bridge to Captain Kirk.
Kirk turns from Spock.
Kirk here.
The Romulan vessel is signaling again, sir.
Kirk frowns.
Put them on the screen.
Aye, aye, sir.
My commander wishes to speak with you, Captain Kirk.
Put them on.
Commander wishes to see you and your first officer aboard this vessel. It is felt this matter requires discussion.
Why should we walk right into your hand?
Two of my officers will beam aboard your vessel as exchanged hostages while you are here.
What guarantee do we have that they'll beam aboard our ship once we're on yours?
Granted, we do not easily trust each other, Captain. But you are the ones who violated our territory. Should it not be we who distrust your motives? However, we agree to simultaneous exchange.
Kirk glances over his shoulder at Spock.
Give us your transporter coordinates. We're beaming aboard.
In the transporter room.
One final order, Engineer Scott. If we do not return, the Enterprise must not be taken. If the Romulans attempt it, you're to fight, and if necessary, destroy yourself. Is that clear?
Perfectly clear.
Kirk and Spock step onto the transporter platform.
Energize.
As Kirk and Spock beam away, two Romulans in uniform battle dress and helmets materialize in the transporter room. They draw their disruptor weapons nervously. Scotty stares at them, hands on hips. On the Romulan vessel, the commander sits facing away from the door as Kirk and Spock are led in by two Romulan guards.
Captain Kirk.
Commander, I'm honored.
I don't think so. But we have an important matter to discuss. And your superficial courtesies are an overture to that discussion.
She looks at Spock.
You are the first officer.
Spock.
I speak first with the captain. You may wait outside.
Spock nods and leaves.
The matter of trespass into Romulan space is one of galactic import. A violation of treaties. Now I ask you simply, what is your mission here?
Instrument failure caused navigational error. We were across the neutral zone before we realized it. Then we were surrounded by your ships before we could get back.
A starship? One of the Starfleet's finest vessels? You were saying instrument failure, as radical as you suggest, went unnoticed until you were well past the neutral zone.
Accidents can happen. Cut off, backup systems can malfunction. We were due for an overhaul 2 months ago.
I see. But you were able to navigate with this malfunction.
The error was corrected.
But I doubt if it will clear you of espionage.
We were not spying, Commander.
Your language has always been most difficult for me, Captain. Perhaps you have another word for it.
You're grossly mistaken. If you think that we were there...
Captain, a Romulan vessel ventured far into Federation territory without good explanation. What would a starbase commander do? You see, it works both ways. I hardly believe you are the injured party. Spock, come in.
Spock comes back, accompanied by the guards. The Romulan commander, who has similar sloping eyebrows and pointed ears, looks at him steadily.
The captain has made his statement.
I understand.
I must admit, some surprise on seeing you, Spock. We were not aware of Vulcans aboard the Enterprise.
Starfleet is not in the habit of informing Romulans of its ship's personnel.
Quite so. Yet there are certain ships, certain officers, that are known to us. Your situation appears most interesting.
What earns Spock your special interest?
He is a Vulcan. Our forebears had the same roots and origins, something you wouldn't understand, Captain. We can appreciate the Vulcans, our distant brothers.
She comes towards Spock.
I have heard of Vulcan integrity and personal honor. There's a well-known saying, or is it a myth, that Vulcans are incapable of lying?
It is no myth.
Then tell me truthfully now, by your honor as a Vulcan, what was your mission?
I reserve the privilege of speaking only when it will not violate my honor as a Vulcan.
It is unworthy of a Vulcan to resort to subterfuge.
You're being clever, Commander. That is unworthy of a Romulan. It is not a lie to keep the truth to oneself.
Kirk looks alarmed.
Then there is a truth here that remains unspoken.
You've been told everything. There's nothing else to say.
There is Mr. Spock's unspoken truth. You knew of the cloaking device that we have developed. You deliberately violated Romulan space with a blatant spy mission by order of the Federation.
We've been all through that, Commander.
We have not even begun!
She looks between Spock and Kirk.
There's no force that I can use on a Vulcan that will make him speak. That is a fact. But there are Romulan methods completely effective against humans and human weaknesses.
You would not resort to them, Commander. They would prove ineffective against the captain.
Then they will leave him dead. Or what might be worse than dead. But I will know your unspoken truths.
Let her rant, there's nothing to say.
I cannot allow the captain to be further destroyed. The strain of command has worn heavily upon him. He has not been himself for several weeks.
That's a lie!
As you can see, Captain Kirk is a highly sensitive and emotional person. I believe he has lost the capacity for rational decision.
Shut up, Spock!
I'm betraying no secrets. The commander's suspicion that Starfleet ordered the Enterprise into the neutral zone is unacceptable. Our rapid capture demonstrates its foolhardiness.
You filthy liar!
I am speaking the truth for the benefit of the Enterprise and the Federation. I say now, and for the record, that Captain Kirk ordered the Enterprise across the neutral zone on his own initiative and his craving for glory.
I'll kill you, filthy traitor! I'll kill you!
The guards restrain him.
I'll kill you!
He is not sane.
The Romulan commander looks at the bulging-eyed Starfleet captain.
Enterprise, I am speaking to you from the Romulan flagship.
The USS Enterprise, under command of Captain James T. Kirk, is formally charged with espionage. The testimony of First Officer Spock was highly instrumental in confirming this intrusion into Romulan space was not an accident. First Officer Spock's testimony was specific that your ship was not under orders from Starfleet Command or the Federation Council to perform such a spy mission. It was Captain Kirk who was solely responsible. Since the crew had no choice but to obey orders, the crew will not be held responsible. Therefore, I am ordering Engineer Scott, presently in command of the Enterprise, to follow the Romulan flagship to our home base. You will there be processed and released to Federation Command. Until judgment is passed, Captain Kirk will be held in confinement.
Scotty listens from the command chair.
Security, put our two Romulan hostages in a brig. Lieutenant Uhura, give me a channel to that ship.
Channel is open, Mr. Scott, and you are tied in.
This is Lieutenant Commander Scott. The Enterprise takes no orders except those of Captain Kirk, and we will stay right here until he returns. And if you make any attempt to board or commandeer the Enterprise, it will be blown to bits along with as many of you as we can take with us.
You humans make a brave noise. There are ways to convince you of your errors.
Did you hear that, you coward? You've betrayed everything of value you ever knew. Did you hear the sound of human integrity?
Take him to the security room.
The two Romulan guards drag Kirk away.
A Vulcan among humans. Living, working with him. I would think the situation would be intolerable to you.
I am half Vulcan. My mother is a human.
To whom is your allegiance, then? Do you call yourself Terran or Vulcan?
Vulcan.
The commander leans back in her chair.
How long have you been a Starfleet officer, Spock?
18 years.
And you serve Captain Kirk. Do you like him? Do you like your shipmates?
The question is irrelevant.
Possibly. But you are subordinate to Captain Kirk's orders, even to his whims.
My duty as an officer is to obey him.
You are a superior being. Why do you not command?
I do not desire a ship of my own.
Or is it that no one has offered you, a Vulcan, that opportunity?
Such opportunities are extremely rare.
For someone with your capabilities and accomplishments, opportunities are made. And will be. I will see to that. If you will stop looking on the Federation as the whole universe, it is not, you know.
That thought has occasionally crossed my mind.
The commander settles back in her chair and studies Spock.
You must have your own ship.
Commander, shall we speak plainly? It is you who desperately need a ship. You want the Enterprise.
Her hazel eyes glitter.
Of course. It would be a great achievement for me to bring home the Enterprise intact. It would broaden the scope of my powers greatly. It would be the achievement of a lifetime. And it would open equal opportunities for you.
Spock looks down at her impassively. Elsewhere, the two Romulan guards throw Kirk into the security room and activate the force field on the door. Kirk hurls himself at the doorway. The force field activates and he collapses to the floor. On board the Enterprise...
Preach to Dr. McCoy.
McCoy here.
Doctor, you must beam aboard the Romulan flagship immediately. There's been an injury.
I don't make house calls.
Doctor, it's Captain Kirk.
Later, in the security room of the Romulan vessel, McCoy runs a scanner over Kirk as he lies on his back on an examination table. The captain's right hand twitches convulsively. McCoy turns to the guard.
He'll recover, but he'll need further attention. Inform your superior.
The guard goes to an intercom. The commander is in her quarters with Spock. She puts on an earpiece.
Yes. I'll come there. Attend me.
Spock nods. As they leave, two guards fall into step behind them.
I neglected to mention, I'll expect you for dinner. We have much to discuss.
Indeed.
She stops and looks up at him.
Allow me to rephrase. Will you join me for dinner?
I am honored, Commander. Are the guards also invited?
The Romulan commander dismisses the guards, who salute and march away down the corridor. Spock comes to a junction in the corridor and takes a wrong turning.
Mr. Spock. That corridor is forbidden to all but loyal Romulans.
Of course. I shall obey your restrictions.
I hope that one day there will be no need for you to observe any restrictions.
It would be illogical to assume that all conditions remain stable.
The commander gives Spock a searching look, but his expression remains inscrutable. They leave the corridor where a Romulan sentry stands guard and carry on to the security room, where the guard deactivates the force field. Kirk sits slouched on the examination table.
Are you the doctor?
McCoy, Chief Medical Officer.
Captain Kirk's condition?
Well, you can see for yourself. He's mentally depressed, physically weak, disoriented, displays feelings of persecution and rebellion.
Then by your own standards of normality, this man is not fully competent.
No, not now.
Mr. Spock has stated that he believes the captain had no authority or order to cross the neutral zone. Could this mental incapacity have afflicted him earlier?
Yes, it's possible.
Mr. Spock, the doctor has now confirmed your testimony as to the mental state of your captain. He was and is unfit to continue in command of the Enterprise. That duty has now fallen on you. Are you ready to exercise that function?
I am ready.
Spock, I don't believe it. There's no price you could pay that would make him sell out.
The matter is not open for discussion, Doctor.
What do you mean the matter's not open for discussion?
That's enough, Doctor. As a physician, your duty is to save lives. Mr. Spock's duty is to lead the Enterprise and its crew to a safe haven.
There is no alternative, Doctor. The safety of the crew is now the paramount issue. It is misguided loyalty to resist any further.
You traitor.
Kirk launches himself at Spock, who raises his hand and places it over Kirk's face, fingers spread. Kirk collapses in a silent scream.
What did you do?
McCoy lays him down.
What did you do?
I was unprepared for his attack. I instinctively used the Vulcan death grip.
Well, your instincts are still good, Mr. Spock. Captain is dead.
McCoy glares up at Spock as the Vulcan frowns down at Kirk's body. On board the Enterprise, Kirk's body lies on the diagnostic bed in sickbay, bathed in a green light. The biomonitor above his head registers no signs of life. McCoy glances at the captain's body as he goes through to his office. Nurse Chapel comes in and looks down at Kirk. He opens his eyes.
Doctor! Dr. McCoy! Dr. McCoy!
I left orders that no one was to come in here.
But he's alive! Alive!
Well, now that you know it, you might as well assist me. Hand me the physiostimulator.
But he was dead. Their doctor certified he was dead.
Spock gave him a nerve pinch to simulate death.
Then Mr. Spock isn't a traitor. And you knew that all the time, and you didn't...
I didn't know it until I beamed aboard the Romulan ship. Jim and Spock were operating under Federation orders.
He runs a scan over Kirk, who jerks his eyes open again and looks up at McCoy with a dry smile. Slowly, he sits up and stretches, rubbing the back of his head.
Oh. My neck feels like it's been twisted off.
That's the Balkan death grip for you.
There's no such thing as a Balkan death grip.
Oh, but the Romulans don't know that. Sure fooled the doctors.
You took a big chance that they didn't start an autopsy.
As far as the rest of the crew is concerned, I'm still dead.
Why?
That's what this whole masquerade was about. To keep the Enterprise and the Federation off the hook.
So that if anything went wrong, you would be the one to blame.
Bones, I want you to prepare for surgery.
What for?
Sick bay to bridge.
Scott here, Doctor.
Mr. Scott, will you report to sick bay?
Sick bay? I can't leave the bridge at a time like this.
You have to. It's urgent.
We're surrounded by enemy vessels ready to attack us. I don't know of anything more urgent than that.
Well, I do. Mr. Scott, please.
All right, Doctor. It better be important. Scott out. All right, Doctor. What's so urgent that...
Kirk stands before him with pointed ears and sloping Romulan eyebrows.
Captain.
McCoy and Nurse Chapel watch Scotty's reaction.
Captain Kirk.
Yes?
Well, you look like the devil himself, but as long as you're alive, what's it all about?
Are those Romulan officers still aboard the ship?
They're in the brig, sir.
I'll need a Romulan uniform.
Aye. It'll be a pleasure.
Scotty goes. Kirk's eyes narrow beneath his slanting eyebrows. On board the Romulan vessel, the commander leads Spock into an inner room in her quarters, where a trolley stands laden with food.
I've had special Vulcan dishes prepared for you. I hope they're to your liking.
I'm very flattered, Commander. There's no doubt that the cuisine aboard your vessel is far superior to that of the Enterprise.
He comes towards her.
It is indeed a very powerful recruiting inducement.
We have other inducements.
She offers Spock a tall glass of blue liquid. He takes it. She raises an identical glass to her own lips. They both drink. Spock raises an eyebrow. Back in the Enterprise transporter room, Kirk wears the long golden black tunic and blue sash of a Romulan officer.
What the devil is Spock doing? What's delaying him?
I wish I knew.
He goes to the control desk.
Scotty, are you sure we have a clear channel to Spock?
Aye, sir. No doubt of it.
Then we can't wait any longer. Prepare to beam me aboard the flagship.
But Mr. Spock hasn't sent the proper coordinates yet.
It can't be helped, Scotty.
You're taking an awful chance, Jim.
Just don't put me inside a bulkhead. Energize.
With an anxious scowl, McCoy comes to stand beside Scotty as Kirk beams across. He materializes in a corridor on the Romulan vessel. A guard appears.
Centurion, I'm sorry, no one has...
I have just effected an escape from the Federation vessel. I have important information for Subcommander Tall. Where is he?
He's in Control Central, Centurion.
Good. I shall remember to mention your alertness to him. Return to your duty.
Thank you, Centurion.
Kirk returns the guard's parting salute and peers cautiously around the corner of the passageway. In her private quarters, the Romulan commander pours a drink. She hands the orange fluid to Spock, who sits on a low couch, nibbling at a plate of food on a table in front of him. The commander sits on a couch at his side. They both drink and ponder their glasses thoughtfully.
You have nothing in Starfleet to which to return. We offer you an alternative. We will find a place for you, if you wish it.
A place?
With me.
She gazes into his eyes, then looks away.
Romulan women are not like Vulcan females. We are not dedicated to pure logic and the sterility of non-emotion.
Again, she holds his eyes significantly, then turns away and takes a deep drink from her glass.
Our people are warriors, often savage, but we're also many other pleasant things.
Spock raises his eyebrows speculatively.
I was not aware of that aspect of Romulan society.
As a Vulcan, you would study it. As a human, you would find ways to appreciate it.
She leans into him. Spock leans over, rests his elbow on the armrest of the couch, and studies her face.
Please believe me. I do appreciate it.
I am so glad.
She trembles.
Now one final step to make the occasion complete. You will lead a small party of Romulans aboard the Enterprise. And there you will take your rightful place as its commander. And you will lead the ship to a Romulan port with my flagship at its side.
Spock nods.
Yes, of course. But not just this moment. An hour from now will do. Even better. Will it not? Commander.
Yes. Yes, it will. Mr. Spock.
Her eyes twinkle.
You do know I have a first name.
I was beginning to wonder.
Well, I do. Would you like to hear it?
Spock leans closer. The commander puts her mouth to his ear and whispers. He looks at her.
How rare. And how beautiful. But so incongruous when spoken by a soldier.
She hesitates.
If you will give me a moment, the soldier will transform herself into a woman.
She stands in her black thigh-length boots and short black red and gold tunic with its train hanging from one shoulder and goes into the next room. Spock stands and opens his communicator.
Spock to Captain Kirk.
Kirk here.
Captain, are you prepared to beam over?
I'm already on board, Spock. Do you have the information?
Yes, Captain. The cloaking device is in an area near the commander's quarters. It is closely guarded and off limits to all but authorized personnel. What is your present location?
Subcommander Tal, I'm receiving an alien transmission from within our vessel, sir.
Alien, are you certain?
Yes, Subcommander.
I must know the source.
Training awaiting now, sir.
Spock, I'll get the cloaking device. Will you be able to get back to the Enterprise without attracting their attention?
Unknown, Captain. At present, I am rather heavily...
The commander returns in a long, swirly black and cream off-the-shoulder dress.
Is my attire now more appropriate, Mr. Spock?
Commander, your attire is not only more appropriate, it should actually stimulate our conversation.
He raises his hand, palm outwards, the fingers splayed in pairs. The commander raises her hand in an identical gesture and places her palm against his. She takes a deep breath as Spock begins caressing her hand in a sensual, ritualized series of movements. Kirk, disguised as a Romulan, turns into the forbidden corridor.
Centurion, have you clearance for this area? I do not recognize it.
There's an intruder aboard. Someone tried to gain entrance there.
I must see your authorization.
Over there!
Kirk knocks the guard out and takes his weapon. In the commander's quarters, she and Spock move their hands across each other's faces.
It's hard to believe that I could be so moved by the touch of an alien hand.
I must confess that I, too, am moved emotionally. I know it is illogical.
Mr. Spock, we mustn't question what we truly feel. Accept what is happening between us, even as I do.
Commander, permission to enter.
Not now, Tal.
It is urgent, Commander.
She grasps Spock's hand and seems about to kiss it before hurrying through into her office.
Enter.
Commander, we have intercepted an alien transmission.
Locate its source.
We have, Commander. This room.
Spock steps through from the inner room and hands his communicator to the commander. She looks up sharply at the Romulan subcommander.
The cloaking device. Bring him.
Kirk uses an electronic picklock to enter the cloaking device room. There are banks of machinery and computers around the wall, and in the center, a console with a pylon and a semi-transparent sphere rising from it. A Romulan comes up behind Kirk, disruptor pistol drawn.
Oh, don't move.
Who are you? What are you doing in here? There's an enemy spy aboard. He'll be after the cloaking device.
Drop your weapon.
Kirk drops his disruptor. The Romulan bends to pick it up. Kirk kicks his weapon from his hand and kicks him unconscious. Kirk goes to the console in the center of the room and lifts the flashing pylon and glowing sphere from its base. It comes away easily. Outside, the Romulan subcommander leads the way down the corridor with the commander, Spock, and the two Romulan guards following. Holding the large pylon and sphere, Kirk takes out his communicator.
Scotty, energize.
He dematerializes in a shimmering golden matter stream and reappears on the transporter chamber on board the Enterprise.
But sir, what about Mr. Spock?
We'll just have to hope he can buy us enough time to get this cloaking device installed.
Well, it'll have to be hooked into our deflector shield control.
Can you do it?
I don't know, sir.
We have 15 minutes, Scotty.
The Romulan subcommander hurries into the cloaking device room and finds the guard unconscious on the floor.
Commander, the cloaking device is gone.
Full alert. Search all decks.
Spock goes calmly over to the console.
That will be profitless, Commander. I do not believe you will find it.
You must be mad.
I assure you, I am quite sane.
Why would you do this to me? What are you that you could do this?
Slowly, he turns to face her, his expression hard and uncompromising.
First officer of the Enterprise.
She slaps him. Her lip trembles with fury. Spock raises his eyebrows.
What is your present form of execution?
She glares at him, breathing heavily.
Log, stardate 5027.4. Commander Scott has less than 15 minutes to install the Romulan's cloaking device and get it working. I hope Mr. Spock can buy us the time we need.
Captain, you're alive!
They said you'd been killed, sir.
The report was premature.
Captain, your ears. What happened?
We'll discuss it later. Mr. Sulu, lay in a course for home. Mr. Chekhov, take the sensors. Mr. Spock is still aboard the Romulan flagship. I want his body readings pinpointed and isolated. That was not a request, gentlemen.
Aye, sir.
They hurry back to their duties. Spock is led into the Romulan commander's quarters.
Return to your station, subcommander. The boarding action on the Enterprise will begin with my command. If they resist, destroy her.
The subcommander salutes and goes.
Execution of state criminals is both painful and unpleasant. I believe the details are unnecessary. The sentence will be carried out immediately after the charges have been recorded.
I demand the right of statement first.
You understand Romulan tradition well. The right is granted.
Thank you.
She goes over to the communications console on her desk.
I shall not require much time. No more than 20 minutes, I should say.
It should take less time than that to find your ally who stole the cloaking device. You will not die alone.
Recording the Romulan right of statement. Proceed, Commander Spock.
My crime is sabotage. I freely admit my guilt.
On board the Enterprise, Scotty struggles to wire up the cloaking device. On the Romulan vessel, the commander listens impassively as Spock continues his statement.
The oath I swore as a Starfleet officer is both specific and binding. As long as I wear the uniform, my duty is to protect the security of the Federation. Clearly, your new cloaking device is a threat to that security. I carried out my duty.
Everyone carries out his duty. You state the obvious, Spock.
There is no regulation regarding the content of my statement. May I continue?
Very well. Your 20 minutes is almost up.
Mr. Chekov, there's only one Vulcan aboard that ship. He should be easy enough to locate.
Romulans and Vulcans appear to read almost exactly alike. There is just a slight difference which... Got him, sir.
Feed the coordinates to the transporter room on the double. Have them prepare to beam him aboard on my signal.
Captain Kirk, Mr. Scott is on the intercom for you, sir.
Hey, Scotty.
I've got the device installed, but bless me if I know whether it's going to work. It's the biggest guess I've ever made.
Stand by, Scotty.
Sir, transporter room has the coordinates and is ready for beaming.
Transporter room, beam Mr. Spock aboard.
Beyond the historic tradition of Vulcan loyalty, there is also the combined Romulan-Vulcan history of obedience to duty.
The commander grabs Spock.
Transporter room reports Mr. Spock aboard, sir, and the Romulan commander.
The commander?
Aye, sir.
All right. Have the report to the bridge on the double. Mr. Sulu, take us away from the Romulans. Warp factor 9.
The Enterprise shears away from the three Romulan vessels.
Subcommander. The enemy vessel is moving away at extreme speed, sir.
Alert all vessels. Weapons officer, bring main batteries to bear on the Enterprise.
On the Enterprise bridge.
Holding at warp 9, sir. Scotty, there's a switch on that device.
I did, sir. It's not working.
Spock and the Romulan commander step out of the lift with a security guard.
I would give you credit, Captain, for getting this far. But you will be dead in a moment. And the credit would be gratuitous.
Lieutenant, open a channel to the Romulan vessel.
Aye, sir.
Spock returns to his post.
I have Subcommander Tal, sir.
Establish two-way visual contact.
The Romulan subcommander's face appears on screen.
We have you under our weapons, Enterprise. You cannot escape.
This is Captain Kirk. Hold your fire. We have your commander aboard.
Commander?
Destroy this vessel. I gave you a direct plan. Tal!
Helmsman, flank speed. Weapons officer, stand by to fire main batteries as soon as we reach optimum range.
Scotty, we're running out of time.
Captain, I'm working as fast as I can.
You see, Captain, your effort is being wasted.
Mr. Spock, distance from the Romulan vessel?
150,000 kilometers, Captain, and closing very rapidly.
Stand by, phasers. Commander, you'll forgive me if I put up a fight.
Of course. It's expected.
100,000 kilometers, they should commence firing at us within the next 12.7 seconds.
Scotty.
It's ready now, Captain, but I don't know whether our circuits can handle this alien contraption.
The Romulan vessel is closer in the view screen.
Throw the switch.
It'll likely overload.
Throw the switch.
Scotty does so. The Enterprise fades from sight.
Weapons officer, commence fire. Gone. They have the cloaking device. Quickly, compute enemy course from last position and open fire.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Sulu, come about. 318 Mark 7.
318 Mark 7, sir. Executing.
The lead Romulan ship sails right by them without stopping. The Romulan commander closes her eyes in despair as it heads off into space.
The cloaking device is working perfectly, and the commander has informed me that even the Romulan sensors cannot track a vessel so equipped.
Thank you, Mr. Spock.
Kirk steps up to the commander on the gallery.
Cancel red alert. We let you off at the nearest Federation outpost.
You are very generous, Captain.
If I may be taken to your brig, I will take my place as your prisoner.
Mr. Spock will have the honor of escorting you to your quarters.
She acknowledges with a bow of her head.
Captain?
Commander?
Kirk turns to Spock, who goes towards the commander. She turns away and steps into the lift. Spock follows her.
Deck 2. It is regrettable that you were made an unwilling passenger. It was not intentional. All the Federation wanted was the cloaking device.
The Federation. And what did you want?
It was my only interest when I boarded your vessel.
And that's exactly all you came away with.
He shakes his head.
You underestimate yourself, Commander.
You realize that very soon we will learn to penetrate the cloaking device you stole.
Obviously. Military secrets are the most fleeting of all. I hope that you and I exchanged something more permanent.
She turns a penetrating gaze on him. As Spock goes to follow her out of the lift, the Romulan commander turns and puts a hand on his chest to stop him.
It was your choice.
It was the only choice possible. You would not respect any other.
It will be our secret.
Back on the bridge.
Entering neutral zone, Captain.
Very good, Mr. Chekhov. Thank you, Mr. Leslie.
Sick bay to bridge.
What is it, Bones?
Well, if all the shouting's over up there, I'd like for you to report to sick bay.
What for?
Well, you're due in surgery. I'm going to bob your ears.
Captain, please go. Somehow, they do not look aesthetically agreeable on humans.
Well, are you coming, Jim? Or do you want to go through life looking like your first officer?
I'm on my way.
Kirk scoots out of the captain's chair and up to the gallery with indecent haste. At the doors, he turns back and looks at Spock, touches a hand to his own pointed ears, and heads into the lift. Spock turns away, raising a quizzical eyebrow. At the con, Chekhov, Sulu, and Uhura, standing beside them, share a secret smile at Spock's expense. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.